Syrian forces recapture more than half of a strategic city near the border with Lebanon. Some are describing this and similar advances as a game changer that will eventually lead to an end to more than 2 years of a deadly insurgency against President Bashar al-Assad. As the US and Russia agree on a peace conference, others are asking, can peace talks work as long as terrorists from all over the world continue to operate within Syrian soil? Reports of the discovery of Israeli-made equipment have also raised questions on the extent of cooperation between the insurgents, regional Arab states, and Tel Aviv. I'm Homa Lezgi, and this is The Debate.
Here is Al-Aqsir, the most important supply station for foreign-backed insurgents and one of their last strongholds in western Syria. And now, the town becomes a turning point in the government's fight against insurgents in the country. The Syrian army's operation in central Syria has reached its final destination in Al-Aqsir. The army gave a final warning to the militants to allow the remaining of the 40,000 civilian population a safe passage out of the town before starting its operation inside Al-Aqsir. Some of the insurgents seized the opportunity and surrendered themselves to the army. And for those who wanted to go on fighting, the military operation started.
We managed to enter the city from several directions. We encountered heavy resistance, but we overpowered them and seized control of these places. And we will pursue them and eliminate them wherever they go.
The military units advanced from four different directions, tightening the siege on the militants inside. The closer the Syrian troops are to the city center, the stronger the clashes become.
We are at the southern side of Al-Qusair. We are engaging terrorists in the city after clearing its southern and western countryside, and we are moving on in the city to liberate it completely. We seized key buildings and they are fleeing towards the northern part of the city.
More than 50% of the town is now under Syrian army's control, including its key buildings, the municipality building, the church, the cultural center, a military security post, the cell phone service station, and other important buildings.
We are with the Syrian army right now as they are preparing to enter the second phase of their operation in Al-Aqsir city. The major challenge right now is the snipers, as you can hear. The army is dealing with them, but the situation is very difficult and the battles are very intense. This was Ali Ibrahim reporting for Breast TV, Al-Aqsir city.
You're watching The Debate. Let me introduce our guest to you, activist and radio host Mr. Don DeBar, with us live from New York, and in London, our guest, Salafist cleric Mr. Anjem Choudhary. Thank you very much for being with us, gentlemen. My first question to our guest in London, Mr. Choudhary. Now, reports we're hearing coming out of the city of Qusair, Mr. Choudhary, suggests that the army has confiscated an Israeli military vehicle with camouflage and eavesdropping equipment inside. And that brings the question, is Israel, or has Israel been for a long time, equipping the insurgents?
Yes, I mean, obviously there's a big propaganda war taking place. Nowadays we find that we don't need to rely upon second or third hand information. In fact, we have family on the ground, we have brothers on the ground, we know the people who are fighting, in fact, against the wicked Bashar al-Assad regime and their henchmen from Hezbollah. The reality is that the Israelis are the friends, in fact, of the Iranians and the Bashar al-Assad regime. The security of Israel rests in the presence of their man in Damascus, Bashar al-Assad. What is taking place now in Qusair is far away from what is being portrayed on some of the media channels, including yourself. What we find now is that wells have been full of innocent civilians who've been killed. They can't even retrieve the bodies because of the slaughter that is taking place in Qusair. And having said that, the heroic mujahideen are resisting. The war is not over.
Sorry for jumping in here. You say that Israel is a friend of the... You're saying that Israel is a friend of the Bashar Assad government. How so? What makes you say that?
Of course, the thing is, the Israelis said themselves that they're not against Bashar al-Assad and his regime. They are, in fact, against who they term the terrorists, which is the Mujahideen. They bombed the missiles before, not because they want Hezbollah not to get their hands on them, because they are afraid of Jabhat al-Nusra and Jundu al-Sham, the Mujahideen. And let me just say something. The Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam made it so clear that the land is one worldwide of the Muslims. Their war, their peace is one. And we see this reflected nowadays in thousands, indeed thousands of Muslims from Britain, from France, from Belgium, all around the world, Indonesia, Bangladesh, Pakistan,
yes,
flooding their way now to Syria. And they will teach Hezbollah and the Iranians and Bashar al-Assad a lesson that history will record. And indeed, they will fulfill the hadith of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they will establish the Sharia, inshallah, in this region. Well, what you're seeing today is atrocities.
And
let me tell you something, if you don't mind.
We are going
the
to
women
stick
and
to
children
the issue of Israel
who are being,
right
who are
now.
Being killed,
yes,
are being killed in
yes
the eyes of the world.
Okay.
The women and children who are being killed in front of the eyes of the world. We can't hide anymore, you know, behind a press TV or Sky News. We see it ourselves with our own eyes.
Come up for air,
okay.
Please.
Now, we will, of course, come back with the questions regarding the civilians who've been targeted, about who the militants actually are as well. But just before that, let's bring in Mr. Don DeBar with us from the United States, New York, and have his comments on this as well. Now, Mr. Don DeBar, since we are talking, first of all, about the role of Israel in this, a lot of people had been suggesting for a long time now that in the Golan Heights, there have been reports and evidence of cooperation between Israeli forces and militants in that region. And now, I'd just like to mention again the equipment that's been found in Syria, which is Israeli-made. Do you agree with our guess there that Israel is in fact not on the side of the militants?
Please. Israel has occupied the Golan Heights for decades now in opposition to the Syrian government, whether Bashar, this particular Assad or his father, or any Syrian government since 40 years ago. Israel is an enemy of Syria. Israel chose Syria as an enemy because Syria is a friend of the Palestinian people in material and very concrete ways, which Israel finds dangerous, offensive, and just doesn't care for. The United States does not like the Syrian government. They don't like the fact that Syria practices sovereignty and it does not belong to the club of Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and others that are essentially puppets of the United States, as they were puppets of Britain before. Mm. For there to be this imaginary alliance between Assad, Iran, and Israel denies the history of things that have happened over decades.
Well, Mr. DeBar, I guess there in London was saying, if I could jump in here, he was saying that the Israeli airstrikes that we saw in Syria were actually meant to destroy the military equipment from reaching the militants. We know Israel itself has said that it wanted to stop those weapons from reaching Hezbollah. What do you think the Israeli airstrikes were all about?
The Israeli airstrikes were an extension of American power. The United States is looking at, the government of the United States is looking at deep domestic political crises, and also something like 65% to 70% of the population against any further engagement in war. In addition to that, the Obama administration rests on support from the most virulent anti-war constituency among those that vote for major party candidates in the country. It is impossible at the moment, although they have tried to maneuver it numerous times with various scenarios of nerve gas and other allegations, it's impossible for them to directly act with air support in support of the ground troops that your guest in London supports. This is the
yes
same scenario that is trying to find expression in Syria.
Okay, now the next question that I would like to bring to both of you is about the nature of the militant activity taking place in Syria. But before that, I'd just like to tell our viewers to take a look at the first comment that we're going to show to you tonight. It's been posted by one of our viewers on our Facebook page, and we'll come back.
I am not sitting on the fence here, strongly rooting for the army and praying for their success. Just don't want to see the lung-eating beasts in power. Way to go, Bashar Assad's men.
That comment posted on our Facebook page, which brings me to the next question I'd like to put to our guest in London, Mr. Chaudhary. We did see recent shocking videos coming in from Syria, Mr. Chaudhary, one showing one of the militants cutting into the body of a dead soldier. You know all about it. It's been called the cannibal video. The question is, who should be held responsible for these kinds of brutal events that are taking place?
First of all, let me say I can't hear your guest in New York, so I'm not sure about his comments at all. Maybe it could be a technical issue here. But I think you put your finger on the pulse when you talk about videos, and you talk about this particular video, for example, of the person who killed an individual and he's taken the heart out. The reality is that we're not now living in the First or the Second World War. Via the social media and via YouTube and the videos, we have seen a plethora of videos and material which prove beyond any reasonable doubt that the atrocities have been committed by the Bashar al-Assad regime and now by Hezbollah allied with them against innocent men, women and children. Even children have not been spared from being raped. Their genitals have been taken off, they've been mutilated. This is the reality of the betrayal of the Shia Nusayris and Hezbollah and the trinity of evil, including the Iranian regime, against the Muslims. And what they want to say is that it's a war against Arabs. It's not a war against Arabs. It's not a sectarian war. This is a war against Islam and Muslims. The Muslims worldwide are flooding now to Syria to teach the lesson really to the people who are committing these atrocities. You may find one video here or there, you know, from the people, maybe FSA or others. But the reality is that Jabhat al-Nusra and Jundu al-Sham are really fighting for the Sharia. They're fighting to defend the women and children and to overthrow the Bashar al-Assad regime. Nobody in their right sense today can say Bashar al-Assad and his regime are not behind the worst atrocities that we have seen in recent memory. Anybody to say otherwise and to say point the finger at one individual and say, oh, look what he's doing to this individual. He took the heart out of this man, and that is the real atrocity. This is really, you know, I think living in some kind of, you know, kind of unrealistic reality. The proof of what is taking place, I think, is there for everyone to see. They can see it on social media, on Twitter, on the Facebook, on the YouTube, and they know that the atrocities are really being committed, as I said, by Bashar, by Hezbollah, the rapes of the children and the women, etc. And that is the thing that Muslims and Islam are against, and that is, inshallah, what would prevail over them, inshallah, in this area.
Mr. Don Dibar, when that shocking video did come out, there were, of course, a lot of reactions. And throughout these days, a lot of people have been interpreting that video as a sign that what the West called the moderate armed opposition in Syria has now actually turned quite radical. A lot of people were saying that the person in that video who was saying he's the leader of the Farouk Brigade, that that was part of the Free Syrian Army. And that shows that the militancy is getting more radical every day. How do you interpret that video?
It's disgusting. And it shows a level of terrorism as, you know, the express policy of these groups that is unmatched in my memory, except by state terrorism like carpet bombing of North Vietnam by the United States, or carpet bombing of Libya by the United States, or the nuclear bombs that were dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. I mean, this is at a personal level, at a you know, small numbers level, this is the most grotesque thing that I've seen. I'd like to ask our guest in the UK, if all of these Muslim fighters are pouring in to fight Bashar Assad, which apparently they're not making it to the ground because the government is cleaning up rather handily there. I'm wondering if any of them plan to stop off in Bahrain or Saudi Arabia or the other places where the most repressive regimes on planet Earth, the most medieval, the most backwards, the most brutal, that have Muslims as the objects of their brutality, if those fighters are going to stop and deal with that on their way to dealing with Assad, because the scale of offense of the Saudi monarchy, the Qatari monarchy, and the Bahrain monarchy being propped up by those two is on several orders of magnitude against anything that's happened, even in this war that's going on in Syria by the Syrian government. So I'd like to know if they plan to deal with that first, as a show of good faith to Muslims around the world.
Yes, I guess in London, let's allow him to give a response to that. Mr. Chaudhary, how can these militants that you're supporting actually prove that they are after what you call justice for these people?
Yes, I mean, what your colleague is saying in America is correct in a sense, because the tree of Islam is being watered with the blood of the martyrs all around the world. We saw it in Libya, we saw it in Yemen, we saw it in Tunisia, we see it now, you know, in Iraq. And we see it as well in Syria. There's no doubt that there is uprising, and the brutality of the Saudi regime is not something that we're going to make excuses for, just as much as we're not going to make an excuse for Bashar al-Assad or the Iranian regime. The Muslims are rising all around the Middle East, and inshallah, Islam will be implemented. And I think what the Muslims have realized is after 30 or 40 years of these dictators and the brutality of them and their own forefathers and the tyrant regimes and the monarchies, you know, they will resist by any means necessary the oppression and the aggression. And that is why, you know, people are coming out of their homes. They know many of them are going to die, for example, in Syria, in Homs, in Qusair, but they are willing to irrigate the land with their blood to find Islam being implemented and for their land to be liberated, yeah, and eventually for the Sharia to be implemented and indeed the Hadith to be fulfilled. So I agree with this man that, you know, the Saudi and the Bahraini regime are terrible, but that does not make an excuse for Bashar al-Assad and the Iranian regime.
Well, Mr. Choudhary, just this question related to what you said earlier on. You said that the atrocities being committed in Syria are being committed by government forces. A lot of people now, the United Nations, the Western governments, independent observers have been saying that while we may accept that the government forces are committing atrocities, we also say and stress the fact that atrocities are being committed by the militants on a large scale as well. Would you say that no atrocities whatsoever has been committed by the militants? You're not saying that terrorists are operating, Al-Qaeda-affiliated groups are operating on Syrian soil right now?
Let me say one thing very clearly. Al-Qaeda do not exist in Syria and in Ash-Sham. The bay'ah has been given to Sheikh Ayman al-Zawahiri by the leaders of the region, but they don't exist in their own presence. However, Al-Qaeda is a phenomenon of resistance, of jihad, of working to establish the Sharia and the Khilafah. What is taking place now in Syria is a very brutal Nusayri Shia regime is committing many atrocities. In war, people kill each other. There's no doubt innocent people may have been killed, you know, by operations which have taken place. But the torture and the humiliation is being done by the Nusayri Shia with the help of Hezbollah and with the help of the Iranians in Syria at the current time.
You said there that you believe Al-Qaeda does not exist in Syria right now, is not involved. Let's just bring in a comment by Don Dabar and we'll come back with the next question to you. Mr. Dabar, would you say that there is no Al-Qaeda in Syria? And then again, we've got the now categorization by the UK, the US and etc. They're saying we've got good rebels, bad rebels, we've got the moderate opposition, we've got the radical opposition. Is that a categorization that do you think is realistic?
No, I mean, it depends on who's, you know, applying the term good or bad. But first of all, Al-Qaeda isn't trademarked. It's not, there are no property rights in the name. And, you know, when people call themselves Al-Qaeda, one has to first look at the genesis of Al-Qaeda, which is, of course, U.S. intelligence. Your guest in London made reference to the Mujahideen, again, a product of U.S. intelligence in Afghanistan, intended as a Cold War tool to destabilize the southern flank of the Soviet Union. The outcome of the U.S. intelligence meddling and the wars that were conducted in Afghanistan and elsewhere through Iraq and elsewhere, through Libya and elsewhere, are people on the ground, Muslims, murdering each other on a daily basis by the scores, the United States and Western Europe carting off the wealth of the region, some local compradors like the Saud family, like the royal family in Qatar and others, making billions of dollars and repressing their people brutally. To the extent women, for example, can't drive in Saudi Arabia. People have their hands and feet cut off. I don't know if that's the Sharia law that he's referring to, but that's what they practice in Saudi Arabia. You know, the obvious material basis for what's going on there is to serve U.S. and Western European imperialism. And you can look at the ledger in terms of bodies or funds and see that that is exactly what's being practiced. And what is being advocated by your guest in London, materially, practically speaking, is more of the same. If you cannot identify the allies of, the enemies of your enemy as allies, and instead see those as your largest enemies, then you are identifying yourself as an ally of the enemy. And that's what he's doing.
Before we continue with the discussion, let's just take a look at the second comment that we have for tonight's show, a comment that's been posted on our Facebook page, and we'll be back with the rest of the discussion.
The solution lies with the West. If they really wanted a political solution, they would have done that a long time ago. But that's not their aim.
One comment there posted on our Facebook page brings me to the question of what kind of solution Syria needs right now. I guess in London, Mr. Chidari, the Syrian government has been saying that they are willing to bring about a negotiated political solution. What is standing in the way of that solution?
There is no way that the Syrian people will now accept a negotiated settlement or political settlement or whatever euphemism people may want to give this so-called theme. The fact is, after 2 years and now over 100,000 people who have been slaughtered by the Nusayri Shia regime, the only solution for this conflict is jihad fi sabilillah. And let me tell you something. The Shia of the Nusayris in Syria were the ones who helped the French colonize this area in the first place. They are the ones who are siding with the Americans in Iraq. They are the ones who allowed the existence of the State of Israel. Now they are allying with the Bashar al-Assad regime to help slaughter innocent men, women and children, even brutally, if you like, mutilate them and rape the men and the women. So this war does not have a political solution. The only solution that we are willing to accept and the people who are flooding to the region are willing to accept is the removal of Bashar al-Assad and the replacement by a Khilafah system implementing the Sharia.
But
and
Mr. Chidari,
that is the real
you said
fear
that,
for the Americans and the Israelis
here.
Because maybe if you just allow me to finish, that is the real fear for the Americans and the Israelis, because when the Khilafah comes, that will be the end of Israel and that will be the end of the Americans and the Russians, inshallah.
Well, you said there, Israel and those who have worked for Israel. One question that a lot of people are putting forward now in the case of these militants of Al-Qaeda is why Al-Qaeda up until now, these militants and insurgents haven't been working against Israel. We haven't seen any kind of, for instance, even statements regarding...
This is not true. The biggest enemies in the world today are the Americans. It's a well-known fact that Israel is an American illegitimate child, an illegitimate child of the British, nurtured by the Americans. So they are fighting the bigger enemy. They are fighting the masters in Iraq, in Afghanistan. They're fighting them all over the world. And they are the ones who are propping up and supporting Israel. So if you to say they're not fighting Israel, they're fighting the father of Israel. They're fighting their illegitimate father all over the world. So this is complete nonsense.
Mr. Dondibar, I guess you want to respond to that?
Yeah, baloney. First of all, assuming that the attacks on the United States in 2001 were actually conducted by Al-Qaeda, assuming that, which I don't, but assuming that, the only beneficiary here was a small circle of people at the pinnacle of power who wanted the ability to basically waste the United States Constitution and impose a police state on the American people, which they have done in the main. And they continue to do that every time there's one of these exercises. Likewise, in the UK, there has been no analogous action by Al-Qaeda or any of your brothers in the struggle against Israel. Those battles have been taken to Israel by Hezbollah and by Hamas and by the people of Palestine, who for some reason do not warrant the attention that Bashar Assad does. Now, again, I'm going to go back to this. When you look at a war and you see who is fighting whom and who is supporting whom, you can tell who is on which side. When weapons are flowing from the United States and Western Europe to the insurgents in Syria and not the government, when Israel is attacking weapons caches that are being brought in to support the government or to be given to Hezbollah, depending on which story you believe, but they were inside Damascus in the airport through regular channels, they were not smuggled. When that's who Israel attacks, then it's because Israel is attacking Syria or Hezbollah. And the United States, of course, is the sponsor of Israel and has been angling to conduct an air war against Syria, like the one it conducted against Libya, with your brothers on the ground, working as allies with NATO against the Libyan people and destroying that country. And that's what you intend to do to Syria. And that only serves the United States and Western Europe.
Well, I'm afraid we have run out of time. I'd like to thank Dondibar, our guest there in New York. He's an activist and radio host. A big thank you to our guest in London as well, Mr. Anjem Chidari, Salafist cleric. Thank you very much, gentlemen, for being with us on this edition of The Debate. Until our next program, from me, Homa Lezgi, it's goodbye.